know. Confidence has rewards. I mean, if you don't cast away your confidence in the Lord, it comes with rewards. But many in this hour, you know, I know lots of people, you know, just like myself, I lost my mom and dad, and I counsel people all the time that out on the field and different things, you know, because they're sad at these times of the year because a loved one has went on. And a lot of them, you know, a lot of them, they're that way year after year after year. And the enemy comes. He comes and tries to take advantage of their, you know, our love and different things to get our confidence in the Lord. He's after other stuff. Because if somebody is born again and they go to heaven, we should never mourn long. The Bible says, actually, we've got it backwards. We are to mourn when they come into this earth and rejoice when they leave. I mean, that's the Bible, see? And that Bible gives me confidence there. That, you know, I should never let the enemy take advantage of my love and missing. I was thinking about my daddy. I mean, there's nobody on this planet other than Teresa that I loved more than my daddy. You know? And I lost him, and I was no good for a year. I mean, it just, like, devastated me. You know, I was really just no good for a year. But I was without Jesus. I was without God, without hope. And then when my mom died, God had this minister, Keith Moore, More Life Ministries. You ought to go hook up some of his sermons. I mean, they'll change your life. He's got series on anything you need in your life. You can listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, and you won't lose vision. You can't continually feed on the spirit things and lose God vision. Won't happen. Well, you know, when my mom passed on, you know, that preacher, you know, he had lost his dad and everything, and it was trying to oppress him, Mac, you know. Loved his dad and everything, and the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord told him, he said, be thankful to me. The Lord said, be thankful to me for the years that I gave you with them. Be thankful. Then you won't be oppressed. You rehearse, you know, and I took that. And I thought, bless God, I'm not going to be oppressed with my mama. I'm going to learn to do biblically what the Bible says. She lived her life here. She raised me. And bless God, she's where she believed she would go when she left here. And she is singing and shouting and ministering to the Lord and praising. See, what I'm saying here, Satan will use anything he can use in mine and your life to steal our confidence in the Lord. Then oppression sets in and life is just not good to us. I mean, nothing is good. Nothing satisfies, you know, because we've lost the confidence in the Lord. So the Lord is our motivating force in life. Hallelujah. I remember when I was attacked with a lot of stuff, and, you know, and I just told the Lord, I quit dreaming, Mac. You know, I mean, I just quit dreaming. I just went and told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm ready to come on home. You know, you've been good to me. I believed you for a good marriage, and I've got it. I believed you for ministry, and you gave it to me, Lord. You've never come short. You've always been good to me. You know, and I'm just ready to go home, Lord. I would like to come home. See, I believe heaven's real. And I believe when I leave here, I'm going. Based on the Bible. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. But see, circumstances and things had come, and I'd allowed thinking and different things, the way I felt and what I was going through. This has been many years ago. You know, to begin to get my confidence in the Lord of a future. I mean, it was Jeremiah 29:11. He said, I know the plans that I have towards you, says the Lord. God has a plan no matter where we're at in life, how old we are, anything. God has a good plan for our life. And he wants us to keep confidence in him so that we carry out the plans and enjoy life and not just, I'm not trying to survive. We're not supposed to just try to survive. We're not supposed to live there. You will be most miserable. We're supposed to thrive, Mac. We're supposed to go forward. We're supposed to dream and not cast away our confidence, which has reward. It has freedom. Mac, he's come out. Blue lights are flashing. He come out and just imagine now. Used to, that wasn't a good feeling, man. I mean, you come out, poof, they're flashing. I told Mac, I said, they're coming after me, man. You know, but I said, it's good to be free. Mac didn't have this thought, really, we were being funny, that they're here for me. Because Mac's been free. Unless something back under, he says, comes up, you know. And I said, if it does, the blood of Jesus covers it. Right? The old man passed away, behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. So where are we, you know? Let that past come up and go, woo-hoo, and you say, shut up in the name of Jesus. The blood covered that. No weapons formed. See what the confidence we can have based on what we know in Scripture and use. Then we don't lose confidence. Little Aubrey, she come to me, she said, I mean, my heart just melts now because my little baby, she's not my baby, but you know what I'm saying. She told me, she said, Papa, she said, I said, yes, baby. And she said, I need you to pray for me tonight, like when we was laying on the bed last night, you know, throat or something, whatever it is. And I said, well, I said, good. I want to jump her up and say, Jesus is real. I mean, I want to pick her up and say, Jesus is real. Because there was a time she didn't want to even think about Jesus. She didn't want to hear nothing about Jesus, about prayer, about none of that stuff. And now that is starting to become her confidence. And that confidence in that baby will bring rewards to her and rewards to all that's connected with it. But anyways, I told her, I said, yeah, Papa, I'll bring you up. I said, well, I said, I might pray for some more folk in the church tonight. I said, so at the end, I said, Papa, I'm going to bring you up and I'll let you come up. Well, we'll do it church-wise, right? I said, go bring it. I said, Papa, anoint you with oil. She said, not oil. She don't know, Mac. She's never been anointed with oil, so I pulled that one out of the hat on her to get kind of, so to speak. Papa, not oil. Don't put oil on me. I said, well, okay then. I said, well, Papa, I won't put oil on you. Well, I got to teach her what that oil represents. It ain't the oil. There's no healing in the oil. It's just what the Bible says for us to do. Anoint her head with oil. Right? Ain't no power in that bottle of oil. It's the obedience and doing things according to the word that gives me confidence. If I do that, there will reward come to whatever we're asking God for. So don't go through this season. I mean, most of us have lost parents and siblings. And I got a brother in heaven, died with cancer. Loved him dearly, missed him for years. But you know what? I rejoice in knowing that a short time from now, I'm going to be there with him. I'm going to be there with all those that have called on the name of the Lord and died and went on. Hallelujah. When we're called up, praise God, and called up to meet him in there, I believe they're going to meet us at the gates of glory. I believe they're going to meet us there to welcome us in. Into the kingdom. Now, I can't really prove that for Scripture, but we're going to be with them. So don't go through this season. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to love the ones that are here. I'm going to enjoy the ones that are here. And I hope everybody does that. I mean, if time goes on, I will leave this planet if Jesus don't come back. And I hope I've put enough in my kids and grandkids, my son and them, to where they won't mourn over me. They will rejoice that Dad fought the good fight, that Papa fought the good fight, that Papa is in the heavenlies right now, praise God. Yes, we miss him. We'd like to ride tractors, but we're going to rejoice that he fought his fight and walked his course and finished it. And now his time of departure was at hand. So don't go through this season sad. Hook up. Love those around you. Spend time with them. Pray for them. You know, the biggest thing that I have found when I don't feel real good, I'll just break out a $100 bill and find somebody or some money or 20, or I'll start doing something, doing good deeds, doing something. I mean, those, the evil gets involved when it gets past missing our loved ones and brings oppression to where we don't enjoy nothing unless we're captivated. There was one time this nephew of mine, he backslid on the Lord. And he's just busy, Mac. I mean, the boy was just busy. And I'm out there and I'm like, man, he's just a busy guy, Lord. Then the Lord said, no. He said, the only peace he finds is when he gets caught up in what he's doing. He said, when all the activities are gone, he don't have no inward peace. He don't have no inward joy. He don't have no peaceful sleep. So I started praying for him. Lord, bring him back. And you know what? You can be a Christian. You can lay down your confidence. You can lay down the baton. And you can just live a normal life without the Holy Spirit moving, bringing the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. That's the fruit. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our life, because we have life flowing and peace flowing. Not that we don't have troubles. The Bible says in Psalms, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It says, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. See, now I've got to have confidence in the Lord will deliver me out of them all. Or that promise can give me vision, but that vision, if I don't have confidence and pursue it, cannot bring the promise. It cannot bring the promise. The Bible says we've been redeemed from the curse, right? Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse. I believe it's in Proverbs, says the curse causeless cannot come. And what that means, if I give it a cause, if I give it a reason, if I give it a right, it can come. Although I've been redeemed, although you've been redeemed, we've been redeemed. So go through this season that we're in and enjoy the ones that are here. I mean, I'm sure that it broke God's heart that Jesus died. Jesus wept over John the Baptist. I mean, I'm sure that all those that died, that Jesus, the Bible says, we have not a high priest that is not touched by the feeling of our weaknesses and infirmities. He knows how we feel. He felt it. He took it on himself. And that's what it means. We've been redeemed from all of that. But only in him, only if we don't lay down our confidence and get distracted by the way things are, by the way things look, by, you know, we can't be distracted. You've got to look forward, and you've got to press toward the mark, and you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Eyes on the promises. Give me that Hebrews, Zach. Hebrews 10:35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And I dug into this, I dug into it, and I've studied that, you know, many times, but I got to digging into it. It says, cast not away. The word cast means to throw off, to lay down, to quit having. Lay it down. You know, I work a lot. But work don't fulfill me. I like being productive. That's why whenever my grandbabies, well, look here, I forgot to tell you the rest of that story. I'm sitting on my back porch, and now I quit dreaming, and I'm told the Lord all that. And the Lord told me, he said, dream about your grandkids. They didn't have no kids. Fact of the matter, I think they'd been told they couldn't or something. Wasn't it? No? Okay. That's what it was. Wasn't told. I wanted to make it clear. But anyhow, I told the Lord, I said, I don't want to dream. Grandkids. And I thought, oh, well, all that matters. So I sat there and I started imagining a kid running from their house to my house. And the more I sat there and thought, I just closed my eyes. You have an imagination that God gave you. Did you know that? That you can create a future in your mind through the Word. You're anointed for that. We're creative beings like God. We're created in His image and likeness. He's given us the ability to see our future and go after it. Called vision. The Bible says in Proverbs, without vision, the people draw back. They perish. They're robbed. They dry up. And I've seen it in this Christianity realm. I've seen people come out just like going after that rabbit. I mean, they're going to win. And I mean, go through in life and battles and the way they feel and things change and all of that. And I've seen them lay down their confidence and just walk away from the Lord. Walk away from church. I've seen people in this church right here. I've seen Satan try to get them out time after time after time. And I would counsel with them. And I would say, what's God saying? What's God? Well, I don't feel. And God, you know, counsel. And Satan would try this lure and that lure and that lure. And then I've seen him after time, because they would not get it settled and get that out of their system and thinking, he took them out. Now, you know, I mean, that's how we can kind of see the tricks of the enemy. The Bible says that we're not ignorant of them. I'm not stupid concerning the tricks of Satan. You are not. You're anointed. You have an anointing from the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I mean, just in the natural, my most favorite fishing is bass fishing. I did it for years. And when I go and I have a tackle box, I ain't got red worms. I might get some, but I'm not wanting to bring them. So I've got lures and fish, and I've got all kinds of poppers and frogs and all kind of stuff. And I'll go out and I'll put me one on there. I'll just be like, whichever one I like. I'm like, well, I'll try the one I like. So I'll put that one on there and I'll cast. And I'll cast. I'll walk around and move, cast. What am I doing? I'm throwing a lure. I am tempting the fish, tempting them. I'm tempting them to bite. They don't know how dangerous that little fish is. That fish is a matter of life and death. It's according to whether I eat fish or don't. If I'm hungry, he's a dead one. Well, you know, if you don't bite, if they don't bite pretty quick, I'll get me another one, pop it off, and I'll pop another one on. And I'll throw the same place, and I'll throw. What am I doing? I'm going about trying to find the thing that will strike their natural thing to go after it. Satan does that. He tries. If you ain't coming out of your mouth and he don't know your triggers, he's going to try stuff. He's going to try this. He's going to try. He's going to try to find something that'll get you and me to lay our confidence down in the Lord so he can lead us off into defeat. He is a leader of defeat. He is a lure of defeat. He is a lure of darkness. But if you don't cast it off, if you don't throw it down, there's nothing Satan can do with a born-again believer. There's nothing he can do to us. I'm not afraid of Satan one bit. Had some preachers one time, they told me, Satan's in this church, and Satan's over here, and Satan. I waited till they got done, and I stood up, and I said, I double dog dare Satan to come over here. Oh, God, you shouldn't have did that. You shouldn't have said that, man. You made yourself a target for the devil. I said, good. I said, I found out he's been stripped of all power. Did you read your Bible? I said, you're looking at evidence in the natural, the way people are yielding, and he is able to do destruction wherever he has somebody to yield. But you can't give him credit. He don't have that kind of power. He was stripped of all power. We've been redeemed by the blood. The Bible says that we overcome whatever we're facing by the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us and the word of our testimony. That's why I refuse to stay sick. If a cold gets me, it slips in somehow. Hello? I just walked through one of them. Most people, it settled in their head and then it moved down their lungs and they cough. And I said out of my mouth, I'm laying there and I'm like, it's last Friday. And I'm like, something's up here. I could feel it. And I laid down and I said, glory to God. I said, Lord, I've been redeemed from this. I said, I've let this slip in on me, Lord. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I pronounce you to dry up at the roots. I set it out of my mouth, the blood, and I applied the blood of Jesus. And I said, I will not get the results that everybody else does. Now, I don't mean that bad about anybody. I'm not saying that about anybody. But I'm telling you that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, already been defeated, that has. And then I got to overcome now through the blood and by my testimony, by your testimony. Well, you know what? Never went down coughing. Ain't going to get down in my lungs. I like my lungs. I protect them. I just said today, I'm going down the road, and I said, thank you, Lord, for clear lungs, clear veins. Lord, thank you for my liver. Thank you for my pancreas. Thank you, Lord, for all the organs that needs to function. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and they all work right, Lord. Why? Because I'm not going to lay down my confidence in what the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. In him, the Bible says, I move, breathe, and have my being. If you don't throw it away. Confidence, the dictionary, is an inward assurance. Inward, you know. An inward assurance, not a head. It's a lot of head assurance until the water begins to boil. then that's just gone, you know. But confidence is means an inward assurance, a feeling of trust in a person. That's why Paul said, he said, I know in whom I have believed. I know in whom I believe. That's why the Apostle Paul was able to say, not angels, Not depth, not height, not anything is able to pluck you out of the hand of God. He had confidence. You say, well, he was the Apostle Paul. Well, we are the kings and priests. We are the anointed of God. We are the next generations down. I mean, oh, Jesus, God made promise to Abraham and 1,000 generations down. We're in it. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the descendants of Abraham through Jesus. Well, I mean, if God wants to, I've heard people say it, well, if God really wanted to do something in my life, he would. See, that's a no-fault religion. That's, there's nothing to do about it. That's wrong. That is wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Jesus said, all that come to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I'll in no wise deny. The Bible says he'll withhold not one good thing to those that walk upright. Not perfect people. Not talking about perfect people. But confidence is an inward assurance, a feeling of trust in a person, a reliance on a person. The Greek meaning of that word, it says, all outspokenness, frankness, bluntness. And I thought, whoa, it's not what I thought it meant, Lord. I've studied that before. That means to be blunt. That means to be frank. Right? Confidence means it comes out of our mouth. Confidence means somebody says, well, it looks like you're defeated. Well, you're looking the wrong way. You're just blunt. You come back right out with it. Well, it looks like your kids ain't going, no, you're looking at the wrong thing. Have you read my Bible? I don't know what Bible you got, but I got the one that said, no weapon formed again. I got the one that said, train up a child in the way, blunt. That's what that means in the Greek, blunt against sickness. You know, I mean, arthritis runs in my family. And black God, I just ain't going to never have it. I'm not going to have it. I've had people say, boy, that's Scotty. Look at him. He's all. No, the Bible says I've been redeemed. So I'm going to be blunt. I'm not going to lay my confidence down and say, well, you know, it's just the way it is. If it happens, it happens. I mean, you know, there's just really nothing I can do about it. That is ungodly, unscriptural. Ungodly, unscriptural. See, we can't just go the things that we want to fight, pick those little battles because they're easier. When the battle comes to you, you must take up and put your gloves on, so to speak. You must gird up your loins. You must have the shield of faith. You must have and keep the helmet of salvation on. You must use the armor that God has given you, that you put on by faith. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. I don't know about you, but it's a challenge out there to me. It's a challenge at my house, through the TV, through my neighbors. It's a challenge in the grocery store. It's a challenge. Eggs are 50% up. Boy, I like eggs. Inflation's highest it's been in 60 years. Have you watched it? I'm like, I'm going to eat right on. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to lay down my confidence if eggs goes to $5 a carton, I can't have none. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, my God. Now look, you can't use that scripture over there, the Apostle Paul over where he said, but my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory until you qualify for that scripture. You know who he was talking to? Partners. He was talking about those that were on a constant basis given to the ministry. That qualifies a laying hold of that scripture. Now, I told you, Teresa said, I don't know about January, February, March, we're riding down the road, maybe, or whatever. And she said, that. And I said, what? And she said, debt-free in 23. I said, that sounds good. I said, I believe I'll just receive it. And then I set out. I said, Lord, I believe that's a word from you to us, that in 2023 we can be debt-free. And so we laid hold, and I laid hold, and I said it week after week, month after month, going down the road. I would say, God, you're going to increase me more and more. Even my children, Lord, they're going to increase, Lord. You said you would bless them both small and great, Lord. You would increase us. I thank you, Lord, for the increase that is going to get me debt-free in 23. Well, you know what? I've been debt-free before. But we didn't have nothing. I've been in debt most of my life. We was debt-free at one time, mate, but we just didn't have nothing. Well, you know what? I am totally 100% debt-free right now. Not by faith. Monday in 2022, we paid off because of our faith. Everything that we owed, we are totally debt-free. Now, you go back and take it back to 2007, 8, 9, when the whole world experienced loss in the economy and all that. And I almost lost confidence. I almost laid it down, what the Word said. I almost did. and then finally got my head straight and got my heart back in there with the Bible, and here all these years later, because I did not cast down my confidence. I am convinced. I am convinced, hallelujah, that God's word works. God will do what he says in his word if we let that word work in us and in our lives. Hallelujah. Patience. He said, verse 36, he said, for you have need of patience. That word patience means endurance. There's not a lot of Christians that I see will endure going to church. I mean, this is grammar. Grammar. Somebody say Head Start. Church is Head Start. I mean, they ain't even got no endurance. Somebody's coming over and they can't go to church. You know, our neighbors are coming from California. You know, they're... And that's the only time we're going to be able to see them. We can't come to church. No, tell your California friends before they get here to bring their Sunday best. That's what they used to do. Now, I just made a pretty vast example there. But you know what? If we don't lose confidence and lay it down, cast it off, throw it away, you get your house paid off. You get your marriage, you get your kids straightened out. I don't care what anybody says or they've experienced. This Bible is all the evidence that I need to know that if anybody will pursue the Lord, get revelation from the Lord, get the will of God for their lives, and I mean get the word on it and pray God keep it, hallelujah, God will perform his over 700 promises in this Bible. And some say, well, it's because you own your own business. Oh, you don't know what kind of faith you better have if you're in your own business. It ain't got nothing to do with that. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22 that I've stood on for many, many years. Many years. It says the blessing of the Lord. And I put my name in it when I say it. Your blessing makes Scotty rich, Lord. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, sir. Why? I don't need y'all to help me confess that. You don't need me. You don't need the church in that manner to be personally taking the word of God and feeding on it, hallelujah, and I mean rehearsing it out of your mouth, through your thinking, hallelujah. I told Travis, I told him, you got about a year and things are going to change. Now, I didn't tell him what's going to change too much or nothing because I really don't, I'm going to seek the Lord for the next year. But one thing's going to change, he's going to get that phone, some of it. That phone is a major pressure. When you answer that phone, you got to think 2 and 3 weeks and a month or so ahead. You got to know what you got lined up. You got to know what you can do and when you can do it. You got to be able to make quick decisions right then when you can do something and try your best to be accurate. And then when you're going down the road and you're done headed home, you know, and it's a 3:30 and a spring breaks and their car's hung in there, you can't just go on home. You got to go. You got to go do your God's will. Right? If you don't, you won't get that reward in the natural. The Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear root. And I told him the other day, I said, well, you know what? I said, I'm going to think about it. Well, what I mean by that, I'm going to pray and seek the Lord. I said, I believe we need to expand the business. Expand it. Buy another truck. Hire some more folk. Why not? Why not? See, I'm not after money. I'm after God's will. Money comes after me. Money comes after you. The Bible says, if we will hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, all these blessings will what? Come on us and overtake us. You'll be blessed going in. See, I didn't get this on my own. This came out of this Bible. And I meditated on that Bible when I first got saved in that, read it every morning while we're going to our first job. If I didn't finish the chapter, I would read it to the second job. I would leave every morning. That's how we go get our breakfast every morning. Tell my brother, we're going to eat all the way to the job. Well, little did I know that supernatural manna from heaven was generating the will of God in me. Faith comes by hearing. Vision comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, some of y'all, you know, I mean, you may be strapped every week, working week to week, and don't feel like you're not going anywhere. Just don't stay there. Bring offerings to the Lord. If you ain't tithing, tithe. Start tithing, 10%. Well, we ain't making it now. We can't afford it. No, get out that reason out of your head. You ain't talking to a natural man. You're talking to a supernatural God that says that he is able to do exceedingly, to do abundantly, to do above all that I can think or ask. He said, but according to the power that works in you. Patience means demonstrating uncomplaining endurance under distress. Do you hear me? Patience. That word patience means cheerful endurance. Cheerful. James chapter 1 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works endurance. It's working you to the place to where you can be joyful and uncomplaining in distress situations. Now, I've worked on it for a long time, but I'm telling you, I could leave my house and I could gripe about every job that I get. I could gripe about every person that don't pay me on time. I could gripe about the bank. I could gripe about the garage door bill. I could gripe about my neighbor. I could gripe about my wife. I could gripe about this church. I could start a gripe church, Faithway Gripe Center. And we could all come here and we could all testify. I guarantee you we could. We could flood this whole service every time with griping worship. But what I'm saying is that the Lord, a long time ago, and I still have to work on it, and I still have to keep this flesh under control at times, hallelujah, because the Lord told me, one time he said, son, endurance, he said, patience is endurance. He said, you will be able to endure without complaining. I looked this up years ago. Patience. You have need of patience. After the Lord said, Monty, you and April get married. Well, good. Love you, baby. Love you. Oh, yes, love you. And then right before church one Sunday morning, April's running out in the woods. Y'all remember that? What happened? This joy that I have. Well, the world didn't give it to me, no, this joy that I have. We forgot it. We laid it down. But you know what? God's a good God. A little bit later, come stomping out of the woods. Heard a little bit about it. Oh, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, baby. So look, your life ain't the only one that goes through some hardship and struggles and trials. You're not the only one, cupcake. There's just some of us ain't gonna lay it down. It's not gonna quit on the promises. We believe God for our marriage. We believe God. You might say, well, I'm already divorced. Well, just move from where you're at and trust God to strengthen you and help you and take this message as something that you can keep your confidence. You are married to Jesus. You're married to the number one, top-ranking one that's able to help you. We're married to Him. He's all of our husband. And He helps me down here with my marriage. So, don't lay it down. We got to be able to go through some stuff. I remember when the Lord told me to go on the streets and preach. I'm all excited on the inside, Mac. I really am. I mean, I'm gung-ho. Oh, Lord, God's going to use me. God's going to use me. Then the work began, Mac. I'm like, oh, man, I got to have speakers. Nobody would let me have speakers. I started running into hardship. Somebody say hardship. Right off the bat, I started running into hardship. But I was determined. I'm going. But God, I'm going to trust God. He's going to have to work this out. That's the way you do. Whenever you start enter into hardship, don't fold and quit and lay down and surrender. I mean, just make your mind up, prepare your mind for action, and I mean sit down and believe God that He will bring you through. He will bring breakthroughs. He will do miracles, even if it don't turn out like you want it to. Don't lose your confidence. It didn't turn out like Jesus wanted to. He died on the cross. He didn't want to go to that cross. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He told the Lord, he said, Lord, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. There's many times I told the Lord one time, I said, I think I married the devil's daughter. I mean, we was lost when we got together. I think Satan hooked me up with her. I'm contemplating getting away from her so I can go preach and do ministry. Then it wasn't too long till I'm at church and an apostle began to prophesy. And he said, you'll go further with this girl than you ever would. God knew what the devil was telling me. But my confidence was in doing the will of God. I wasn't focused on I'm going to get a divorce and I want somebody else. If she wants somebody else, my wife, she don't. And I'm just saying, will you just go right on and have your way? I'm not going back down to Lodabar. If I don't want her anymore, she ought to feel the same way. Well, just go on, because as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Whether she agrees with that or not, that's my heart, and I'm set that way. And that's the way it is. And then I tell those people that's got divorced that one person wants to harden their heart and have it their way and don't want to serve the Lord and go in that direction. I tell them, I did it with Travis and them. They wasn't getting a divorce, but we told Beth, hang in there. You just stay, because Travis's heart wasn't in there with the Lord and pulled him down out of ministry and all kinds of stuff, you know, going on, and her heart is broke and all of that. And we ministered to her and told her, keep going to church, Beth. Keep on. What was we doing? We're trying to encourage her in the hardship that she's going through, not to lose confidence in the Lord, because He's the only one that can fix your marriage. Now, I wish mine was a little bit better than it is now. But if it was perfect, I wouldn't have nothing to believe for, would I? Right? See, we've got to be able to endure hardship. I go down to the bank. Teresa orders me some checks. Go down to the bank. Now, I got the checks where when you write a check, you can put what it is over here you wrote it for and tear it out. And, you know, when you go check the banking account, you just flip back, you know. And then when you're doing your book work, you can just go back and check stuff and blah, blah, blah. And so they send the wrong checks after she took the slip in there. And so she hands me those checks, and I said, that's not going to happen. Teresa, well, we could work. It's always good to be optimistic.
Well, we could work it out. I mean.
No, I'm not working that out. You can, but I'm not sitting there going to cause me hardship because they ordered me the wrong checks for the rest of my life. So I go back in there, hallelujah. You know, I'm not going to let down my confidence. See, the Bible don't say that us Christians should be cowardly. It should not be bold and, you know, take care of business. It don't say that. It says the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, I bring that out in here, don't be mean as a snake, because that's not what it says. Being bold and being mean and ugly is two different things. One is anointed, one's demonic. Overcome evil with good. So I go down to the bank, carry them in there, throw them up on the counter. And I says, these are the wrong checks. And one of them said, well, that's all we can get. I said, I'm not having them. Well, we can't see what we can order. I started to tell her, look, I can order them off. I can order them at Walmart. But I don't want to order them at Walmart. You're my bank. But I didn't. See, sometimes don't say everything. Just stay there. You're under the anointing. You're in faith. You've got vision. You're not going to change that. I'm not going to change that vision. And I know that vision's going to cause me hardship. I'm not going to change it. God ain't told me to change that vision. I want those checks. Y'all are quiet. And she says, well, there's nothing I can do. I said, I'm not going to have them checks. I want my other checks. I throw them up there and I laugh. They called me this little while later and said, Mr. Weston, we found those checks. I said, that's good. What number you want to start out? I said, start out the ones you're going to shred that y'all mailed me wrong. Just look on there. The numbers are on there. I don't know what number's on there. 40-something hundred. I said, just right before you shred it, get that number and then shred them. Well, got our checks today in the bank. I mean, in the mail. They're a different color, and that's fine. I'm ready for a change. But they work. Go in there Monday. See, Satan is going to challenge you with the vision. In circumstances, not even Satan, but circumstances are going to come and challenge you for that life that God wants you to live happy and joyful. See, happiness and joy is two different things. Happy is everything's going good and I'm not bothered, I feel good. But joy comes when everything is not good and don't feel good and all of that stuff. And the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength and my strength. So if we are lacking the joy of the Lord, we're not going to have much strength. We're just going to be existing and we're going to be in a survival mode. I just have to be here. That's why I'm here. I just have to do that. That's why, I have to do it. No, you're not going to enjoy life. You can go years like that. Well, I go back in the bank Monday, and I told Teresa, I said, Monday, I'll call and get the payoff and blah, 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 and we'll pay the house off. So I go in there, and I told them, I said, I want you to lift my debit card to the amount. And she said, I'm not in control of that. I said, well, who is? I said, that's my money in there. I said, who is in control? Well, you're going to have to call the card in your wallet. I said, oh, I am, right? Really? Yeah, there's nothing we can do about that. I said, oh, okay. So I got in my truck, and I sat out there, and I called it. And they said, we've got a five-minute wait period. And I thought, well, that's cool. 25 minutes later, you've got a 30 minutes goes by. Now I'm like, this is not happening. So I drove back to the bank and I walked in there and I said, did they get it lifted? I said, no, they didn't get it lifted. I said, I'm back in here because I've been on the phone when you said that answered me. And I've been on the phone for 30 minutes. I said, and they ain't lifted it. I said, and I got a payoff on my house today, and after today, it's going to cost me more money. And then she said, I said, it's not your problem, it's mine. So I walked over to the other teller. I said, ma'am, go over there and get me a cashier's check for this amount right here. I said, I've got till Friday to that get here. And I said, I want a cashier's check right now for this amount. She goes over there and the machine won't print it. She looks at me, I can't believe this. I said, I can. I'm waiting. I said, I'm not leaving here till that prints off my check. Well, that one gets up over, this ain't never done this before. I thought, yeah. Satan wants to stop my vision. I'm paying my house off now. And he ain't going to stop it. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, I believe for almost 15 years for this to happen. And Satan is trying to pull his last bullet out, you know, to stop me. He couldn't stop me all these years because we wouldn't lose our confidence. We wouldn't give up. And now the promise, I can see Canaan land, so to speak. I can see it. I'm fixing to be in it. And there's giants there, and that bank's one of them. So she got my cashier's check, and I said, well, thank you very much, ma'am. Well, I made that one mad over there. And that's fine. Stay mad. I don't really care if my house paid off. If it was your money and your house and going to cost you more, you would get upset with me if I'm sitting over there doing you like that. Get up and find a solution. You're getting paid to find a solution, right? What are we living in a generation? COVID come through. Well, we're just lazy now. I mean, you know, it is what it is. COVID's got things messed up. It ain't messed up my house. Come on over. We can help you get straightened out. Help you learn how to be diligent once again. Help you how to be customer service number one. So now I got an issue. I am not calling the bank to get, you know, there's no need. I pay for doors, sometimes thousands, over my debit card. Then they email me, so I got a problem. I'm not going to sit on my phone for an hour. And still don't get it lifted. It can't make the transitions. So Tracy, well, you just go in the bank and just talk to the manager. So I've got one last trip. While I was waiting on them and they didn't answer, I went to another bank. And I asked them, if I called you and I've got thousands of dollars in here, can you raise the limit on my debit card to what I want? Oh, yes, sir, we can. We can. I said, well, that's good news. That's real good. I said, I may be seeing you real soon. See, I've come too far to let the enemy do anything like that. You know what? I couldn't get those checks from that bank. You know where they come from, Johnny? That bank. I bet you I will get it lifted when I call. If that one person don't want the extra excess hardship and just don't want to do nothing and lazy and all that, I did the same thing with the door company. I'm telling you this. I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you the Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rule. The Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We are not supposed to cow down to the things that come to challenge our visions. We're not supposed to be rude and ugly, but we must be diligent. Diligent in our marriage, diligent with our grandkids, diligent in the Bible, diligently keeping our mind stayed on the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we are in oppressing evil times. I'm telling you, the earth is getting darker and darker out there. People don't know what's right and wrong because the media is telling them what's right and wrong. Now they just put that. Our president just wrote, and I'm not downing him, but he just wrote it into law. And it's going to trickle down and affect the churches sooner or later. Wrote it in law, you know. Different color, but that's never been an issue with the church. Interracial marriages, that's never been an issue. Why do you even do that? But now Monty comes to me and says, well, I think I'm in love with Johnny. No, we can't imagine this garbage. But this is really happening. Johnny, yeah, I mean, we just looked at each other one time. His sparks hit us. Y'all can't even imagine that because we don't think evil, see? We don't think evil. We can't conceive of that evil. We you know, our mind won't let us go to that evil. You know, I would have to say, Mac, we're going to have to cast the demons out of them. They believe they're in love with each other. I mean, Monty's must be the man because he's got her, and Johnny, he's bald. He's going to have to get a wig. Johnny, get him a blonde wig. Oh, let's go, Monty. I mean, I'm up there the other day, and me and Teresa taking some, cure some business up at Lowe's, and two guys are getting dryers. And I looked at one, and he's going, I said, that's the girl. The other guy's up here, and he's like, I said, that's the guy. They're both guys, you know. And they go on, they say, well, I think I just want this deal right here. Like that. And I'm like, I'm standing here waiting. I need to talk to the guy, you know. So I'm having to endure this. and then he says,
do y'all offer these in any other colors?
Like that. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, it's you can get it in a blue. He said, it's $50 more. And then the girl, which ain't a girl, she looks at him. What do you think? And I'm like, I started to say, for God's sake, dude, why does it matter what color it is, man? Y'all can't even see straight like it is. Blind and can't see it far off, man. Y'all walking in abomination. But I didn't. I was a good guy. I just walked on out there. I prayed for them. God, touch them. God, open their eyes somehow, Lord. Send the gospel in there, Lord. They're living in evil. They're headed for destruction. They're headed for hell. That's an abomination to the Lord. Well, he just signed a law that we've got to recognize same-sex marriage. I've got to honor it and marry them. Won't never happen. I will not ever marry a man and a man. I'm going to respect the God-given way of marriage, and that's between a man and a woman. And they say they're Christians, but they skip over there where it says that that's an abomination for a man to lay with man, or a woman with a woman, or a man or a woman with a beast. Abomination to the Lord. See, these things can cause us to lay down our confidence in the Lord. But we're to bear up, have patience. And after we've done the will of God, we will receive the promise. So I want to encourage you. I didn't mean to get on that trip. That wasn't in my message. But it's real, though. I mean, it's happening. It's really happening. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't cast off your confidence. And remember that. Go study that for yourself, patience, and meditate on it. And say, Lord, that's me. That's who I'm going to be, Lord, right there. I'm going to joyfully endure hardship. I'm going joyfully, Lord. I know I'm going to have to do this by faith, Lord, but I'm going to draw strength from you, Lord, so that I can bear up under this pressure and not fold. Hallelujah. So I'll be giving you testimony, I'm sure, Sunday, that they can lift your debit card. So I'm taking care of all your stuff for you that you got debit cards that you think they can't do. Well, they can do a lot more than what they, because I've not been able to find the word can't in the Bible, so I don't have the mentality. Can't. Can do. I can do all things. They can do all things through Christ who strengthens. You can have your house paid off. You can get your stuff fixed. You can without, you know what? And I'm going to close with this. Now, that tractor that y'all all know about, y'all could write a book on that. I preached it so much, you know. But that tractor would have cost me, if I had to let Satan rob me through it, almost enough to pay my house off. It tried to get my promise. So, being prayerful about everything, even when your vehicle's tear up, if you can't fix them, you be in prayer and you be believing God that you don't get robbed, that Satan don't take advantage of you, that he don't use people to take advantage of you. And because of that, there will an anointing be on you. You will just have an idea. Take it there. Don't take it there. Go get it. Pick it up. Do this. Do that. You'll start having these unctions. And then, Mac, it cost me $20,000, and I paid my house off. I got my tractor. I can make it smoke now. It'll boil black smoke. You couldn't get that sucker to smoke nothing. Had it so stopped up with all of that regen stuff, it couldn't breathe. No wonder the tractor wouldn't run fast. Now you go, rah! Boy, you just buzz around on it. I'm like, praise God, riding on the blessing. Didn't cost me but $20. 6 hours and $20. Let's bow our heads. Hey, Auburn, come up, buddy.